Hello, this is Andy Cates from London.
And this is Tian Yong Woon from Singapore.
And as usual, we're both hosting the weekly podcast from Haber Analytics. So today we're going to weigh in on some of the key decisions from the world's major central banks that have occurred this week. I'm going to talk about the Fed and probably going to talk to a little bit about inflation.
And I'm going to say a few words about the Bank of Japan and share some messages about China's economy that were reviewed by the week's data releases.
We'll also wrap up with some brief thoughts on the week ahead. Now, as usual, just know that all the views that we express on this podcast are our own. They're not the views of Haber Analytics. So starting with the Fed, as I'm sure everyone is now aware, interest rates were, as expected, left on hold last night. But there were some, I guess, surprisingly dovish comments, a dovish tilt, actually, to last night's proceedings as a whole. Investors were cheered up, I think, by the so-called dot plot, which showed that the Fed's previous forecasts for three interest rate cuts in the year ahead remained intact. And on the comments as well, I think it was notable too that Powell suggested that a strong jobs market wouldn't necessarily deter the Fed from cutting interest rates in the months ahead. Now, all of that, it has in turn led stock market sharply higher. I certainly think it was notable that Asia's stock markets altered sharply higher. And that is clearly off the view that a pivot toward looser monetary policy will soon take place. Fed funds futures contracts still suggest at least three cuts of 25 basis points by March of next year. It's a lot less, of course, than the six cuts that were being priced in the middle of January. But the positive equity market response clearly shows how anxious investors may have been about this meeting and how the Fed in particular might have responded to the sticky inflation reports that we saw last week. I think all this means that Fed watchers are going to look very closely at the incoming inflation data in the weeks ahead, but they will equally perhaps be a little less concerned about incoming data for labor market activity.
So on that, Andy, what do you think about the recent inflation numbers? Do you think we should be worried about them? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I won't talk directly to the US in inflation data. I mean, US economists have sort of done that one to death, although I suppose, you know, insofar as the Fed isn't seemingly that concerned, it is perhaps the view at that institution that the unexpected prints will kind of sort of fade out of the equation in the coming weeks. But one thing I think I would throw into the mix here, looking more broadly at the global landscape, is just the degree to which we saw an unexpected drop, or should I say an unexpectedly large drop in the inflation prints that we saw from the likes of Canada, the UK, and in fact, actually from Denmark over the past few days. Core inflation rates in those economies in particular dropped quite sharply. Service sector inflation in particular seems to have started to ebb more forcefully. One of the features as well in the UK that caught my eye, which, you know, sort of may rhyme with what we're seeing in the US right now, just concerned the housing component. The housing component put upward pressure on UK inflation, unlike most of the other major CPI components in that economy. One of the reasons for that upward pressure concerned rents, and one of the reasons for that in turn, in my view, just concerns rising interest rates and how that's impacting landlords' mortgage costs. Now, I don't know the degree to which that's rhyming with, you know, the reasons why housing inflation in the US is pushing up. But insofar as there are some parallels, you know, it may suggest that concerns about January's inflation in the US and broader concerns about UK inflation could be overbaked. Let's move now to you know, the central banking scene again and the Bank of Japan. What's the story there, Tianyo?
Thank you, Andy. So on that front, we saw some significant shifts in monetary policy earlier this week as the Bank of Japan finally moved away from negative interest rates. There are some nuances to this, though. with the central bank now targeting the uncollateralized overnight core rate at between 0 and 0.1%. The bank will achieve this by applying an interest rate of 0.1% to current account balances that financial institutions hold with it. Previously, the bank was actually targeting the rate on policy rate balances instead. So apart from all these short-term interest rate developments, the Bank of Japan also ended its yield curve control policy, and it also announced that it will cease purchases of ETFs and J-REITs, which are Japan Real Estate Investment Trusts. So additionally, the central bank will also phase out purchases of commercial paper and corporate bonds over the span of about a year. So that's all from me on the Bank of Japan in terms of the updates that came out this week.
Yeah, so I'm just going to throw a question at you here. So if we were talking about this time last week and you said this is what the Bank of Japan would do, I would have thought that markets would react quite negatively to this, that it would be a kind of hawkish surprise. But, you know, what seems to have unfolded so far is a positive equity market response, a positive JGB market response insofar as yields have shifted lower, and the yen accordingly has weakened off the back of it too. So, you know, what's going on here? I mean, was this not a big surprise, or are there other elements in the decision that have left investors with a kind of dovish inclination?
Yeah, so thank you for the question, MD. From what I observed in the immediate days leading up to the decision, there was quite a lot of news articles, even from specific news sources saying that, more or less, there's some expectation of a policy shift coming out of the March meeting. And markets were actually quite ready for that in the immediate days leading up to the decision. But thereafter, during the press conference, the BOJ governor actually mentioned that looking ahead, they will proceed slowly on additional rate hikes. So I think that could have been the reason why markets have sort of like reacted in a way such that, you know, they don't expect a full-on normalization coming out from the Bank of Japan after its March meeting.
Okay. And, you know, as far as the region as a whole is concerned, it sounds like we've seen some better news from China.
Oh, yes, indeed. So on China, we saw quite a few consensus-beating data releases coming out of the economy. Specifically, industrial production growth unexpectedly accelerated to 7% year-on-year in February, the quickest expansion in nearly 2 years. Furthermore, fixed asset investment growth firmed by more than expected, propped up by investment in high-tech industries, among others. Also, retail sales growth slowed by less than expected. So, while the most recent data may stoke some optimism towards the Chinese economy, any interim stabilization likely remains in early stages. So, moving on to interest rates in China, Chinese banks, they also left their 1 year and 5 year loan prime rates unchanged. The move follows the central bank's decision last Friday to keep the one-year medium-term lending facility rate unchanged at 2.5%. So that's all on China from me, Andy.
Perfect, thank you. So let's move now to a quick chat about the week ahead and just drawing on the comments that I just made. The key focus will inevitably be on the February core PCE inflation data in the United States. And whether or not that continues to reveal a further retreat in inflation. I think most US forecasters think it will. And then notwithstanding a holiday shortened week in Europe, the focus there is also going to be on inflation, with some country-specific data due from the likes of France, Italy and Spain. We also see a European Commission confidence survey. And on the policy front, Sweden's central bank meets next Wednesday. And like nearly every central bank, bar Japan, is expected to leave rates unchanged. How about Asia?
Yes, the week's flurry of data releases will carry on to Asia. So among the lot, China's official PMI readings for March will likely be a focus. To recap, recent official PMI data for China have indicated a widening divergence between the manufacturing and non-manufacturing sectors, with the former contracting mildly, while the latter saw an accelerated expansion. So apart from China, we also see several inflation, industrial production, and retail sales releases coming due in other economies. Of perhaps relative interest are industrial production numbers coming out of Japan and South Korea, just to let us keep a pulse on the global manufacturing complex.
Excellent. We're going to leave it there for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And further analysis on these issues, as usual, can be found in our latest Charts of the Week publication and in our latest economic letter from Asia. Otherwise, have a great week ahead.